Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, everyone. My name is Stephen Lewis, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Scott DeTamble will arrive to discuss the lives between lives, which is certainly going to be an interesting topic. But before we have Scott join us, let's welcome my co-hosts. Lauren, how are you doing this evening?
I am doing well, thank you. How was your New Year's?
Oh, it was great. It was like the year is just so brand new. It's so exciting, and I'm just happy to be in it. And I'm happy that you're here with us this evening as well. Could you describe a little bit about your psychic specialties?
Yes, I do angel readings, and I specialize in, when people call, just connecting straight into the angelic realm, the spirit realm, and just channeling straight for people when I do readings.
That is excellent. It's very interesting. And like I said, I'm really glad you could be here with us tonight. I can't wait to get your opinions of the interview after the interview during the banter section. Hi, Steve. How are you doing this evening?
Very well. Thank you, Stephen. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well, my friend. We got a lot on our plate this evening with Scott DeTamble. But before we bring him on, can you describe a little bit about your work over at PsychicAccess.com?
Yes, Stephen, I'm a psychic medium, so I connect with people in spirit and bring evidence of the afterlife to clients, and I also enjoy channeling. I'm going to be doing quite a bit of trance channeling work this year in the UK, so I'm excited about that. But I'm also an astrologer, as you are, and I really enjoy using astrology to help people understand themselves, other people, relationships, and look at what's occurring in life and what's coming up when.
Excellent. Very talented individual. You can find Stephen Frampton at PsychicAccess.com. And we have here Dr. Nona Marie Foyer. How are you this evening?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. Chilly in Southern California, which is unusual for us.
Yeah, that you don't ever hear the words chilly in Southern California very often in the same sentence.
Only when you're talking about politics, but not.
Well, you have a very interesting guest tonight, but before you describe him, could you share with us what you do over at PsychicAccess.com?
I would be glad to work with a bunch of extremely talented psychics, first of all. I'd like to say that, and so proud to be part of the group. I do predictive readings. I do pet readings. I work with numerology at times when I have enough time to do that. And also am able to contact people who are on the other side, who are still trying to talk to some loved ones that have been left behind here on Earth.
Excellent. Well, we are glad that we have you on our team. And could you describe a little bit about Scott DeTamble for us, please?
Oh, Scott, I am so excited. Scott is a hypnotherapist, but he specializes in the life between lives therapy, hypnotherapy. And Michael Newton, who was a mainstream hypnotherapist, published a book a few decades ago called Journey of the Souls, because he found all of his clients going to this place between lives, planning their next life on Earth. And Scott is one of the people who was trained with Michael Newton. And in fact, some of his case studies have been included in Dr. Michael Newton's books. He has three books out, Michael Newton. Scott is local to my area out in California. He's in Chino, California, I believe. And he loves his work. I'm so excited to talk to him about it. I've done one life between life regression, and it was astounding, absolutely astounding, and I can't wait to do some more on it. I'm very excited he's here tonight.
Okay, well, I do believe Scott is ready.
I'm here. Scott?
Hey, Scott. Nice to
hey,
see
Marie,
you.
How are you?
Virtually, that is.
That's right.
So, welcome and Happy New Year.
Thank you so much, and Happy New Year to you and your team and to all the listeners.
Thank you.
I'm feeling you're most welcome. I'm feeling it's going to be a really big year.
Yes, I think so. It definitely seems to be heading in that direction. So can you tell us what is a life between life regression? I think a lot of people are more familiar with the concept of a past life regression.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Life between lives is kind of an extension of a past life regression. In fact, we use a past life regression to get to the between life state. So we'll do hypnosis and take someone into a past life, and then we'll move through the past life back and forth. Then we'll move toward the end of the life and then through the past life death and up into spirit. And that's when our life between life session really begins. So between that past life and the current life, there's a lot going on. So between our incarnations, there's quite a bit happening. That's probably our real existence. Our actual existence as souls is between lives or between our incarnations. So we take these incarnations to test what we've learned up there in spirit to bring it down here. You might think of like a college course. You have a lecture, and then you have a lab. So the lecture is up there in spirit, and the lab is down here on Earth or whatever planet you incarnate on, where you put to the test what you've learned in spirit.
I love it. So tell me more about what happens between lives when you say that's really our life. I agree with you. I love that description. So since you've done so many of these kind of regressions, can you talk a little bit more about, is it the same for everybody? Are there similarities, big differences?
Well, gosh, it's as various as, you know, we are all individuals. It's probably infinite, and it's always evolving and changing. So every session that I do is totally different than the last, although there are some common threads or stops that Dr. Newton has discovered and, you know, kind of produced a methodology so we can reproduce that type of thing. But our life between lives, I mean, as souls, it's a big universe out there, right? And there are other dimensions and other worlds and just other existences. And we can access all this stuff through these sessions. It's pretty amazing. So to answer that question, it's different for everybody, and yet there are some common threads that we touch on.
Can you describe some of those common threads? If, say, someone was having a hard time understanding what this might look like at all, they can't have any clue in their imagination, what could you say to us to help us get kind of a general overview of what it looks like to be between lives?
Sure. When we go through that to the past life and we go through that past life death, there is an ascension process. You know, when you're rising up to the spiritual realms, you're leaving your earthly body in that other life, and you're going up into the spiritual realms, the spiritual dimensions. So there's a shift of your vibration, your frequency. You're dropping off the heaviness of the earthly life, and you're rising and ascending and feeling lighter. You know, people have near-death experiences, and it's not too different from that. You might experience going through a tunnel or just floating up in space, floating kind of through space. Some people might see the Earth getting smaller and smaller as they rise higher. Eventually, there's a shifting where you're shifting into a different sort of dimension, into the spiritual dimensions. And so how it can appear or feel is very different for every individual. And every time that we die and go back to spirit. But a common thing is to be met by loved ones or spirit guides, or maybe taken to a place of healing if it was a particularly rough lifetime that you just returned from. Say you were in a war or something, or you had a traumatic end. You might be taken kind of immediately to a place of healing where there are spiritual healers who can help you sort of adjust. And so there's lots of different things that we encounter. Another very common thing to do is to be met by your personal spirit guide. We have many spirit guides, but we usually have one primary guide who really looks after us and is our main teacher. And that person will sort of take us somewhere and sort of sit us down, like on a park bench or something, and say, you know, how did you feel about that lifetime? What was that like for you? Do you feel you accomplished what we had planned? So there'll be an orientation little session with your spirit guide. And then your guide will talk to you about that life and what he or she feels you may have accomplished. And, you know, they're very loving. They're very warm and loving. And just in our sessions, meeting the spirit guide or re-meeting the spirit guide can be a very emotional experience, because it's unconditional love. It's this warmth, this enfolding of love and loving energy and total acceptance. That's a beautiful thing. So the rekindling of this relationship with your spirit guide in these sessions is a very profound thing. And then you can, you know, you will consciously remember that and take that back into your life. And we'll also establish a communication with that guide. We'll set up a way that you can contact your guide, like tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. So that's a very profound and sort of common experience we have in these sessions.
Well, that's amazing. I love the idea of setting up a contact. So you mean after the hypnosis is over, there's still a cue or something you can use to connect with your spirit guide?
Exactly, yes. And we'll set that up. I mean, just having the experience of remembering, you know, this lovely, awesome, wise, and beautiful person who has been teaching us over the eons, just remembering that is an amazing thing. But then you'll have a name. We'll talk to that person. We'll talk to that person through the client, through the client's mind, or even have the client channel that spirit guide. And I will talk to that spirit guide directly, sort of through my client. And so someone who's never channeled or anything like that, they can actually get into channeling their spirit guide in these sessions. So, yes, we'll set something up very simple. And I'll just ask the guide, hey, you know, how can, you know, Joe connect with you tomorrow or next week when he needs you, or he wants to consult with you? And they'll often say, well, he needs to meditate, or he needs to get quiet. He needs to quiet his mind, or just think of me, or just call my name, something like that. And there's also a little technique where, well, I'll ask the guide, you know, guide, if you want to get in touch with Joe, let's put a sensation in his body or mind right now that in the future will serve as your calling card or your ringtone. When you want to get his attention, put that sensation in his body or mind. And so the client will get, you know, a tingling in the left side of their face, or maybe an image of a white feather in their mind or something like that. So we'll sort of connect that. That'll be the cue. And then I'll ask the guide, well, okay, when the client experiences this tingling or this image or whatever, what does he need to do? And the guide will say, he usually stop and listen.
That's great.
So that's a really fun thing that we can do. And it's as profound, you know, a profound thing to go away with. After the session's done, you know, you've created this connection with spirit for your client. So it's a really beautiful thing.
That's fantastic. I love that. I had read a book about a nun who died, and she went to the place between worlds and contacted a fellow nun that was still on Earth. And one of the things she talked about were there was rehabilitation there in the life between lives for people who are, say, in trauma from their past life, that they were still on the other side kind of crying or distressed and couldn't really even debrief from the life yet because there was so much emotion still from some of the experiences. Have you ever run into situations like that?
Oh, yes. There are all manner of restoration or healing or rehabilitation centers, as you might call them, upstairs in spirit. There are all different grades of, you know, healing that a soul might need, because these earth lives can be very traumatic. I mean, just look at our history. So there are all different types of healing and restoration and this kind of thing. The healings can take many forms. Going into a chamber where energy is flowing into you, kind of like a shower, which fills you up with love and energy and sort of, you know, patches up the dark spots, you know, in your energy. All the way to, there are some individuals who have had serious trauma, and like you say, they just can't get over it, and even the guides can't hardly get through to them. So they are healing specialists upstairs, of, you know, masters. I mean, masters of healing, masters of energy manipulation and healing and restoration. There are individuals, wise beings of light, who have incredible powers to heal souls. I recently had a session which was pretty interesting and pretty outside the box, where it was a really odd session. But this gentleman, in his past life, something happened in a past life that was so traumatic that between lives, they did a special technique that they even described to me as being actually dangerous, where they turned off his soul and turned it back on, almost like rebooting a computer.
Wow.
I mean, this is something I never heard of. They said it was just so serious. You know, like when you have an operation, they stop your heart and then they start it up again, and there's always a chance, you know, maybe something will happen. So, but they felt they had to do this with this fellow. They basically rebooted his soul. So that was a new one to me.
That's amazing. I wonder about that, because it made me realize, when I thought about that concept, that it means we really can't get away from our work. In other words, we don't just go to the other side and get a clean slate. We go into spirit carrying over things we have not resolved or let go of, etc. Would you agree with that? Is that true?
Yes, yes, ma'am, I sure would. Yeah. Just because we die doesn't mean, you know, we have instant, you know, omnipotence or, you know, perfection or anything like that. We're still learning. We're still growing. Just because we've shifted out of the physical, we're still, you know, in school. So,
yeah.
Yes, there are still, you know, things to learn and things to do. Sometimes in between lives, you know, they will heal a lot of the stuff that we've done. Sometimes they may not. They may leave a particular issue or a particular wound sort of open. And then in your next life, they want you to work on it some more. So, I mean, they're not going to just wipe the slate clean every time and do it for you, because the whole point is for you to learn and to experience and to grow and to overcome and to strengthen your soul.
Right. It is amazing to start looking at life from that perspective, because then, for me, it makes no sense to dodge our issues in any way whatsoever.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, like people, you know, life is tough. Earth is a tough place. Life can be tough. Bad things happen, and you might, you know, feel like you want to just run away and escape and end it all. You know, suicide or something. Just get me out of this place, you know. And I think we've all had those types of feelings. But there really is no escape. I mean, you're just going to go there, and they're going to go, well, you ended that early. that wasn't such a good thing. You're still going to have to work on issue A, B, and C, and now we're going to throw D in there for you, too.
Hmm. Have you ever had a session with someone whose last life was a suicide, and how was that handled in spirit? I know there's a lot of different belief systems about suicide.
Sure. Sure, I've had plenty of sessions where a person in another life committed suicide, lots of them. And, you know, there are little differences, but basically it's kind of as I already laid out. The guides and the teachers say, well, you know, you ended that early. We hadn't planned for you to leave yet. You know, we're a little miffed, you know. We're not really angry. We think you could have hung in there and done better, but that's okay. Let's study the life. Let's review the life. Let's look at some other choices that you could have made. So they'll make a teaching opportunity or a learning opportunity out of it, and then they'll counsel the person, and the person will do whatever else they're going to do in spirit, and maybe plan another life where they have another sort of chance where this choice is going to come up, and hopefully they'll make the choice to tough it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. So what happens if people come to see you and they have, say, a very strong traditional background, say Christian or something else, and how does that interfere with the regression work or what they see and experience?
I think it might filter their experience a little bit sometimes. Obviously, they wouldn't come to me and do this kind of session if they didn't have some kind of open mind. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe it could be desperation, but some part of them is open. So, you know, that's a good thing. But I think, yeah, sure. I mean, we all are brought up in certain ways, and, you know, so we filter our experiences through our, you know, what we've gone through. And so they may couch it in certain ways that has to do with their religion. Like if they see a spiritual being, they might say, hey, it's Jesus or, you know, Mary or something like that, which it may or may not be. But I don't really see it as a problem. I don't see anybody's religious, you know, beliefs as conflicting with this type of work, really. I've had people from all different kinds of religions, you know, Islamic people, Christians, Jewish, Wiccans, all different kinds of things. And basically, up there, you know, I mean, that sort of religion doesn't have a lot of meaning. Mm. I mean, religion is a beautiful thing. It's very comforting. It helps people, you know, connect with spirit. It's a beautiful thing, but up there, there's no, you know, one certain religion or anything like that. It's just basically all about learning and growing.
Mm. What about seeing family members? I know a lot of people are very attached to the idea that when you cross over or you go between lives, you'll see your spouse or even sometimes your dogs and animals or grandparents. How does that work?
It's very cool and it's very accessible. I get a lot of people come to me because they are bereaved. They've lost someone very close to them. And so, you know, they would like to just know that that person still exists. Mm. And so we can usually connect with that person in spirit. We'll hang out with the spirit guides or the council or whatever, wherever we go. And then at the appropriate moment, I'll say, well, you know, she really wanted to see her daughter who unfortunately had passed over. Can we, you know, we invite the daughter to this meeting and we ask her to come and say hello, and they usually will. And they'll say, hey, Mom, how you doing? You know, I'm fine. And we'll talk to the, you know, the, what should I call them? The deceased soul, the deceased person who is still a living soul, of course, and ask them about, you know, because they're already involved in other stuff. Hmm. They're doing classes and explorations and field trips and planning their next life and stuff like that. So it's very comforting for the one left behind to connect in that way. And, yeah, people can also see pets and things like that. It's happened many times in my sessions. It's, you know, it's funny. I remember this one session, this person went through this whole life between lives session, and it was really deep and meaningful. But it wasn't until the very last 5 minutes when her dog, who had died a few years ago, came up and came bounding up and jumped in her lap. That's when the tears came out. So, people and animals have amazing connections, and in these life between life sessions, we sure can visit with our animals who have gone before us.
That would be me. I would be one of those people.
Yeah, you're like, oh, grandma, grandpa, yeah, great to see you, cool.
Right.
Oh, my God, it's Fluffy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What about sometimes people think that someone is a soulmate or, a big connection. Have you ever had someone go to the Life Between Lives and see that soul again and find out that they really weren't soulmates, but there was some other kind of connection going on instead?
Sure, all the time. We have soul groups in spirit, which are sort of like our families on Earth. These are our families of souls that we live with up there, we study with, we play with, and then we incarnate with from time to time in different roles. Maybe this time you'll be my sister, maybe next time you'll be my mother, and maybe the time after that you'll be my daughter, or an enemy, or something, It's all about helping each other learn and grow. So we make these agreements to, especially within these soul groups of ours, to come and incarnate over and over again in different roles to help each other develop and evolve. And so, within this soul group, each soul usually does have one primary soulmate, one soul that is just closer to them than any other. And often they do tend to incarnate in romantic, husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend relationships. Often they will, but sometimes not. Sometimes it could be mother, son. And so, I'm trying to think about what you're asking here exactly. If you thought maybe your wife was your soulmate and then you have a session and you realize, well, maybe she wasn't the primary soulmate. She's in the soul group. We're very close. But there's actually another primary soulmate that didn't even incarnate in this life. I wasn't even aware of.
Right,
and
right.
This lady sort of standing in the shadows who actually is my primary soulmate, and we can connect with her. Yeah, that happens all the time. But it's important to know that we're not necessarily meant in each incarnation to be with our primary soulmate. In fact, sometimes we need to spend time apart because we might grow too dependent upon one another. So we might spend time apart. We might not even incarnate in the same time and place. And yet, on some level, we're always connected. And with a whole soul group, we're always connected. So, one thing we bring out of these Life Between Lives sessions is the fact that, even if you seem like you're alone or you feel like you're alone, you're not. You have friends who look down on you from above. You have teachers, guides, masters, angelic beings. No one's really alone. We have so much support. You just have to open your heart and you have to ask.
You ever run into someone who came down without any members of their soul group and did a lone wolf life?
Oh, yeah, definitely. People do that from time to time because they need to learn to stand on their own two feet. They need to become more independent. I think one of the way Michael Newton kind of discovered this whole thing was a lady like that. She was just lonely and in felt so out of place. And he said he didn't even know anything about this Life Between Lives stuff. He didn't know what to do with her. And he finally just said, let's just go to a time when you're with your friends or loved ones. And she went to the spirit world, to the Life Between Lives, and hung out with her soul group there. And, that was very healing for her to realize she does have friends on the other side, but she had elected to kind of come down alone this time to do her own thing, to, learn to stand on her own two feet and to grow her independence.
And so, was she less lonely then after that regression, or how did that change or help her?
I think she just realized that, oh my God, you know, I'm not alone. I have friends. Well, maybe they're not in my life right now, but I can still feel them. I know they're there. And after these sessions, often they open doors. They open psychic doors for like your average person who may not have their psychic doors open, so to speak. They open doors, and now from then on, maybe she could feel them, or she just sensed them, or, you know, I'm not exactly sure about that case in particular. But I think just seeing them and spending some time with them was just so healing for her. She's like, oh, yeah, I can live 20 more years or 30 more years knowing that my friends are waiting for me.
Right. Wow. Amazing. So what are some of the spirit guides or other beings that you have encountered in the sessions? I know you talked about the council, and you've talked about and kind of vaguely referred to angelic guides, etc. Can you run down some of the people, so to speak, or entities, souls that we would meet on the other side? Do we all have a guardian angel? Do we all have a primary spirit guide?
Sure, I'd be happy to talk about that, Marie. Yes, we all have a primary spirit guide, and other spirit guides that a primary spirit guide might bring in to help us with certain aspects of our life. Say, you know, suddenly I took up archery or something. Maybe they'll find me a sporty guide to help me, you know, learn how to hit that target or something like that. So, yes, there are spirit guides. Most of the spirit guides that are the primary spirit guides that guide us and teach us are just like us. They were just like us at one time. They incarnated. They went through their lives, and they developed, and they wanted to become a spirit guide, and so they studied that. They probably don't incarnate anymore, at least not on Earth. But they serve us, you know, in spirit. They serve as teachers. They may have many students that they look after. They may just have one. It depends. There are levels and levels and levels, layers and layers of spirit guides. There are, like our soul groups I was talking about, those soul groups usually have a sort of over-being or a group guide who looks over that group. And they may work with members individually from time to time and that kind of thing. Now, a few echelons above that is something Newton calls the Council of Elders. There are beings who are very, very evolved, maybe, like I say, a few levels above spirit guides, who have done this for a long, long time. And at some point, before we incarnate, or after we return from an incarnation, we will go before this panel. There is a panel of elders, and they want to assess our development. And they will talk to us, and they will tell us what they think we need to work on. They will congratulate us and, you know, honor us for what we've done and this kind of thing. And in our Life Between Lives sessions, we can usually arrange to have a Council of Elder meeting and talk to the elders about the past life, about the current life. We'll have the client bring in questions about their current life, and we'll ask the elders to, you know, to share their wisdom and their guidance with us in our current life. And so those are some of the layers of beings that help us. I mean, there are all kinds of beings. It's a big universe. It's like infinite. There are like probably traveling, you know, like lecturers who travel from like dimension to dimension and lecture and teach about certain things, you know, compassion, love, energy manipulation, healing, all these kinds of things. And there are also beings who just don't incarnate. They choose not to incarnate. I think of these as the angelic beings or the angelic realm. they have so much love and compassion for us who do choose to incarnate, and they support us in our lives and in between our lives. It's just something they don't choose to do. So there's a whole, there are worlds and worlds of beings out there, up there, and they're actually interacting with us all the time in our current lives. You know that little voice that tells you to turn left instead of right, if you listen. So they're all around us. They're all supporting us. It's kind of one big happy family.
What about the concept you've mentioned before when we've talked about we're not fully incarnated when we're here? There's a portion of us that's here, but there's also a portion of us that's still in spirit. And some have said that we are also living multiple lifetimes at one time. What is your understanding of those kind of ideas?
Yes, those are sort of two related aspects, so I'll take them one at a time. Yes, it's so. We have found in these sessions that we only bring a portion of our soul energy into each incarnation, and it varies with each life that we take. So, you know, in a particular life, you'll say, well, I only need, 35% of my soul energy in that incarnation. The other 65% of me is going to be doing something else. Maybe I'm going to even split that. 35% of that will be doing a life on planet X. Then the other 30% is just going to be in the spiritual realms, taking care of souls who are returning from their lives or something like this. So we have all these activities going on besides being incarnated and living the current lifetime. So, and that's a fascinating thing to explore, Okay, if 70% of me is here living this life, what's that other 30% up to? Well, we can find out in these life between life sessions. Well, maybe you're learning, or maybe you're teaching, or maybe you're traveling. I mean, who knows? Now, there are some souls who do overlap lifetimes and have concurrent incarnations. They'll take 30% of their soul and live, a lifetime, and then it'll overlap. They'll take another 28% of their soul energy and have another lifetime on Earth, maybe on the other side of the world, because the conditions were just perfect so they can learn the certain lessons that they needed to learn. Then the other portion is doing something else. So we definitely we're able to split our soul energy to accomplish various things on various planes, various dimensions. Now, there's also the concept of all lives being simultaneous. Like every, we call them past lives or future lives, but they're really all happening now because the eternal now, the spiritual now. I mean, this is a concept that is sort of beyond my human understanding. It's kind of beyond the human brain to understand what simultaneous time or spirit time is. If you read the Seth books by Jane Roberts, Seth is being who Jane Roberts channeled in the 60s and 70s. I mean, he explains this stuff really well, better than I ever could. So, there's a lot going on out there. And in these life between life sessions, we can open the windows, open the gates, and understand a little bit more about who we really are.
I love it. We're going to take a very quick commercial break, and we'll be back, and we're all loving this show.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Welcome back. We are talking to Scott DeTambla about life between life regressions. We're having a fabulous time. And we were just talking about the idea of we are not 100% incarnated on Earth in this lifetime. We can split our energy between other tasks and other lives. I'm curious, in some of your sessions, have people talked about what can we do after Earth? What are some of the options of assignment, so to speak, or how do we know when we're done with Earth?
It reminds me of one of my favorite movies, which is called Defending Your Life by Albert Brooks. I don't know if you've seen it. That's a really amazing movie. Where they go to have this guy, you know, gets hit by a bus and he dies, and then he goes to sort of the afterlife, and they're sort of looking at his life, and they're saying, you know, will you have to go back, or will you be able to move on to more interesting, you know, assignments, more interesting worlds? So, what's after Earth? Boy, I mean, the sky is the limit, literally. There are so many worlds out there, physical worlds. You know, Carl Sagan talks about billions and billions of stars and all that. It's a very large universe, if not infinite. As I've mentioned, it's always evolving and changing. There are many, many physical worlds. There are worlds that are just purely mental worlds, where we don't really incarnate in a body, so to speak, but our energy spends time there, and maybe we develop our intellect. There are worlds of recreation, you know, like the Bahamas or whatever, you know, Club Med worlds where we go to just chill out and have fun and explore. There are tasks and jobs to do in the universe. There are, you know, exploration. Exploration is a big thing, exploring different dimensions, exploring other civilizations and other types of life and other types of beings. It's just amazing. And I mean, some of this stuff we don't necessarily have to stop incarnating to do. Some of this stuff we do even while we're asleep here on Earth, you know, when we're astral traveling or whatever we're doing. So, I mean, gosh, there's so much going on and there's so much to do. I don't think it ever really ends. I think we just go on and on, growing, learning, having fun, growing in compassion and wisdom, expanding our knowledge. It's all about learning, growing, expanding.
Have you ever noticed, or has anybody reported, something like, say you're living a couple of lives at one time, or you're doing something on another planet or another dimension, does it ever reverberate through our current life so we can address that in a life between life session? In other words, something that we think is happening now is really a ripple from some other task or other life?
That's a really deep and profound question, and I believe it is so. I believe that all of the existences that we have or have had or will have are connected in some way. And so what you do today is going to ripple even into your past lives and into your future lives and into your other simultaneous existences. And I was just reading this stuff in a Seth book like last night or the night before, coincidentally. And, you know, Seth was saying that, yeah, I mean, what you do in your life today changes everything. So, you know, he also had a line that says, the point of power is now. So that's all we really have is now. That's all I really have is now. We can look at the past and think about the future, but all I really have is now. And so, yes, indeed. I mean, absolutely. The ripple effect is on. You might feel in your life today a ripple from something you did in a future life or some other part of you. You know, maybe you attained a new level of understanding in some other existence. Maybe you crossed a barrier and you attained some amazing, you know, like I said, level of understanding or something like this. And then, you know, all of a sudden, math becomes easier for you in school or something like that. Now you sort of get algebra, you know, thank God, finally. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, all of these parts of ourself are interconnected and are all moving and evolving at the same time. So it's an interesting thing. One other thing I'd like to say along those lines is that in a session I had, this guy talked about how everyone, when anyone, how we are all so connected. When any one of us attains like a new understanding or a learning or jumps up a level, so to speak, we all jump up a level. So anytime any one of us achieves something, it's like we all ascend, you know, maybe a tiny bit, but every little bit helps. So we're all connected, all of us. Think of the numbers. Just you, Marie, I mean, you, all of your other lifetimes, past lives, future lives, other existences, and think of every person on this planet or who has ever been on this planet, all of their lifetimes and their existences. Think of the whole universe and all the other worlds and all the other dimensions. I mean, it's big. We're all growing and evolving. So existence is an amazing thing.
I love that idea. It's very much also even in the physical sciences that if you change one electron of one atom, the entire substance changes. So it completely makes sense to me that as we make some kind of leap or have a cognition or a breakthrough, that it would ripple like an electron throughout the energetic universe. It's a great concept.
Yes, indeed. I like that you bring it home with, you know, a concrete example like that.
This is such great work. You mentioned that people can do more than one session. And what is the benefit of that?
Well, gosh, it can be just amazing. Doing one Life Between Lives session, you know, it might be 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. It's long, and there's a lot of material that comes through. As you know, Marie, you've been through it once yourself. And so there's a lot of material that comes through, and that might take months or years to just process that. But for some people, that may be enough for some people. That's what they needed. It got them back on track. They're good to go. But with others, they may feel the pull, like, well, that was just the tip of the iceberg. I need to do more exploration. And with those people who feel called to do a second or third or fourth Life Between Lives session, I mean, the sessions just, they open up worlds. They open the skies, like they open up exponentially for the person. Like myself, I've done about 5 sessions as a client, and each one sort of builds on the last one and expands. And the last 1 or 2 sessions that I had are just mind-blowing. I'm learning stuff about, you know, myself that I, you know, 10 years ago I would have no clue about this stuff. And so, yeah, it's just amazing. So, yeah, doing multiple sessions is a way to extend and expand your knowledge of yourself, basically.
Fantastic. Wow. So how did you get into this yourself? You must have started, I'm assuming, from a regular hypnotherapy background and then somehow discovered this, or did you go straight into Life Between Life work?
No, you're exactly right. I kind of started with a straight hypnotherapy. Well, I was interested in past life regression. That was my thing. I was drawn to the past. I love history and archaeology and stuff like that. And I always felt I'd lived in other times and other places. So I wanted to learn how to do that and also to experience it myself. So that's really why I studied hypnotherapy. And so I began doing hypnotherapy, and past life regression was really my my specialty. And then a couple of years after that, I saw on the internet that Michael Newton was training people in this life between lives thing, and I had read that his first book, Journey of Souls, some years before, and I was like, wow, you know, I didn't even know he was around or this was a thing that you could learn. So, you know, I went to that training. It happened to be, they move it around the country and the world. They have two or three trainings. The Newton Institute, he created, an organization. So they have maybe two or three trainings, and it happened to be like in Cal, you know, Southern Cal, you know, that year, or just in, like in a few months. I was like, whoa, you know. And so, you know, I took the training, and boy, it just, you know, opened up my world. And I knew, you know, this is what I was really meant to do with this stuff. And I, as I drove home from that training, you know, I was on the freeway, right? It was in Studio City, and I was driving home. I'm in, actually, Claremont, not Chino, but that's not too far away. And so, that's okay. I was driving home, and I was looking at people in the cars on the freeway, and I was going like, oh, my God. Like, every single person has this incredible soul history, you know, and now I know how to help them find it. So it was a very awesome thing for me. It was about 10 or 11 years ago.
Fabulous. Can you work on people remotely, or does this have to be in person?
You know, that's a good question. I have not done phone or Skype sessions myself. I always just felt like I wanted to be in the same room as the client. I know that some therapists may do that, and it may be fine. I've done sessions with friends on the phone and that kind of thing, and it works out pretty well. So it's kind of something I'm debating, whether to move into that world of doing it remotely.
Right. Yeah. I don't know how it would be doing it remotely. I traveled long and far to do a session in person. So interesting to think about that.
Well, I would much prefer to do it in person. Although, you know, as a psychic, you know that you can mesh with someone. Miles don't have anything to do with it. You know, you can what's the word I'm trying to think of? You can bond with someone, you know, over the miles. It's just not a big deal. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking about it. Mm-hmm. But I would much rather be in the same room so I can watch the person, I can see their reactions, I can take care of them if they have some kind of emotional reaction or something like that.
Right, yeah. I think it's the difference between sometimes you just really want a massage instead of remote healing. It's just a preference of what feels more comfortable. Sometimes I want hands-on rather than somebody working on me from across the planet and not touching me at all. So I kind of like the in-person part of it as well. Interesting. So can you tell us, we're getting towards the end of the show here, and can you tell us where we can find you and more information about you and your website and things like that? Nope. Did we lose you? Sounds like it. So we can find Scott DeTambla on, in Claremont, California. And are we still here?
Yeah, we're still going.
Okay, sorry. Seemed like I lost Scott here.
Yeah, I think we may have had an issue or something.
Okay. So we lost Scott, but he was fabulous. He is in Claremont, California. He has a Life Between Life website. And Stephen, do you have the exact name of it? Because it has slipped my mind.
I sure do. That would be Light Between Lives, LIVES.com. Light Between Lives. Very poetic URL.
Yes, fabulous. So if you're interested in getting a regression, you could contact Scott, and Like I said, I traveled very far to have a session. I had to wait 9 months, and then I had to fly up to Grass Valley, California, and spend a night in order to get my life between life regression a long time ago. And it was probably one of the most amazing adventures for me to do that kind of work. And I'm very glad Scott was here to explain and help us all understand it a lot more. Yeah. So I'd love to hear from my co-host here.
Oh, we'll get there in 1 second. I got to make a couple of announcements first, Dr. Nona Marie. And then we're going to have an outstanding banter. I can tell you that right now for sure. But I would like to take a moment to make a few announcements. First of all, we have another hour left where you can get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We're going to announce the call-in number later, so be sure to have your pen and paper handy. If you couldn't get to our last week's show, which we didn't have actually because it was Christmas, but if you ever miss any show, we've got an extensive archives under the Archives tab over at PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Check it out. You can spend an entire day, an entire week, just losing yourself in our encyclopedia of interviews. So also, let your friends and family and anybody you care about know about our archives, PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. A lot of good stuff in there for everyone. Also, be sure to visit PsychicBloggers.com to learn about everything from the paranormal. This is a jewel for education. You can learn about reincarnation. You can learn about the how-tos of psychic development so you can bring out your own inner prophet. And soulmate seeking, it's all there, PsychicBloggers.com. If you would like a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to PsychicAccess.com where you will find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with his or her own unique gifts. Every psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about him or her. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. All of the co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access, and if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading for traffic referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, invite your friends to join us in our chat room. And listen to the Psychic Viewpoint every Thursday. There's something for everyone, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. And stay tuned. Get your pen and paper handy. Later on in the show here, I will pass out the number to get your free on-air reading. Back to you, Dr. Nona Marie.
Okay. Thank you for those announcements. And I'd love to hear from my co-hosts. I know, Steve, you were sounding very excited about the information and wondering what you'd like to share about the show, and you were saying how much it validated so many things that you had felt were already true in your own experiences.
Yes, there are things my sound does it.
Oh, yes, I hear a humming.
Okay.
Can you ask Stephen? Stephen, you were also oohing and aahing, as was Lauren in the chat room. So what was your impression of this material? I take it you have not heard about this kind of work before.
Not in a modern context so much. And it's just something that's very interesting to me because as a boy, having sort of emerged out of the void, still dripping with the cosmic placenta, as it were. I had a very vivid awareness of that in-between place, that interstice, that place in between worlds and existences. I think all children are like that. So, you know, to ask me about my impression of this marvelous interview, the impressions were multiple for one thing. It wasn't like one single impression. This stuff was just catnip for the intellect. This is a subject near and dear to my heart. And, you know, with that said, you know, I don't necessarily believe 1,000% yet in reincarnation as it's handed down and commonly understood doctrine.
And did this help you with your ideas about reincarnation? And
It reminded me a lot of doctrines that emerged from the past as well, but have been adapted for modern sensibilities, which is totally fitting, totally proper. I was just particularly stricken by his comments regarding the guardian angel. You know, there is an extensive body of authoritative opinion and observation on the guardian angel. And so, you know, hearing his comments about it was just very stimulating, this entire interview.
Excellent. And Lauren, what did you think of the interview and the Life Between Lives? Is this something that you have been familiar with in the past? And
I have never, excuse me, I've never heard of the Life Between Lives, but it was fascinating. I'm very familiar with past life and reincarnation, and I was just in awe. I really wish that he was close to me so I could go having a visit with him. I loved the soul connection and the spiritual counsel and the angels. That's actually what I've been saying for a long time. So it's also nice to hear another person almost kind of validate what you've been saying too. So I guess we're all the right amount of crazy, I like to say.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I have a spare room if you ever want to come out and see him. So,
I definitely do. I was like, that would be fascinating.
Would be great.
To sit with him and have a session would be amazing.
Yeah. And is Steve back, it looks like? Let me try him again. Nope. Not yet. So, the thing that I really love and struggle with at the same time, I love that he brought up the Seth books. One of my favorite books is The Education of Oversoul 7, written by Jane Roberts, based on the Seth channelings. And it is about the fact that we are living many lives simultaneously and how we handle that as a soul. It's written in a novel form, and it is also extremely funny because Oversoul 7 is kind of a dork. He doesn't figure stuff out very easily, and his main spirit guide has to be very patient with him. And so it makes me laugh because it reminds me of myself so often. And I hope my spirit guide is as strong as the one in Education of Oversoul 7. But it is fascinating reading and very easy to read the way that it is written, and it reaffirms many of the concepts that Scott was bringing up. And I just love that he was relating to that material that came out, I think, in the 70s. It's fairly old material, but still amazingly informative and accurate material. Have any of you ever read any of the Seth material? You ever heard
no,
of him?
Actually, I would consider that, even though it came from the 70s, for my taste, it's quite shockingly modern. I think I caution people, and you know, the spiritual reality, which for one thing is essentially unknowable until we experience it. But one thing that it concerns me is that there is a preoccupation with carnality in our modern conceptions. It's almost as if I think we are psychologically easing ourselves into the reality of death. In the sense of, you know, for every other life phase, we ease ourselves into it. We ease ourselves into adulthood with 12 or 13, or in some of our cases, 15, 16, 17 years of public education. We ease ourselves into the workforce through college and the humiliating servitude of the internship. And I think, you know, a lot of these concepts regarding the afterlife are our way of easing ourselves psychologically into the unknown. And again, the spiritual reality is going to be much different. I think I see it as a purging of memory. And so this idea that the carnal trappings of our life, our, you know, our family, our identities, you know, the fact my identity is Stephen, you know, even the pure doctrine of reincarnation, at the very end of it, you have to let go of all of that. At the end of the day, you have to surrender all of that because it's the ego. And so to sidestep around that and to, you know, fashion this scenario where I can have a relationship with, you know, my dear Uncle Sal or what have you, you know, I remind everyone that the meaning of the Sanskrit word nirvana, it has to do with extinguishment. And so we have to, I think, keep in mind the notion that the place in between worlds is also, I think, and again, this is all conjecture, really. We're going to have to go through it. But it's a place of purgation. Now, I also think that that washing away of the memory banks, I think it's incomplete. You know, I don't think it's a complete washing away. There's something that remains to our consciousness in the incarnation, and it's very disturbing to many of us. To many of us, it puts us in asylums or causes us to do terrible things. And it accumulates, I think, these memories over incarnations. But, you know, ultimately, well, I think what people intuit is that there is a time of judgment as well. You know, again, we've dandified and fancified that notion, but essentially it's remained unchanged since the Egyptian Book of the Dead and the vulture goddess Ma'at, who's going to weigh your heart on her balance. And if you flunk out on that one, she's going to, you know, loose these imps who eat you up, you know. So it's just really such a fascinating area. You know, once you get into it, you can kind of get lost in this labyrinthine tangle of conjecture and all of this. And that's what I love about it. You know, that's what I really love about it.
I found it rather horrifying the first time I realized that there was no wiping of the slate when you die, that you still carry over the work that perhaps you haven't completed or the issues that you still weren't at peace with and hadn't integrated. Because there was a part of me that was just thinking, well, when you die, it's just all peaceful. And there is a much greater level of peace from what I understand and what I remember of my own session doing Life Between Lives. But there was also this, there was a sense of continuity that kind of shocked me, that what I did in this life, what I had done in another life, until it was integrated and released, that it could come back to haunt me. I hated that idea.
I gotta share a really helpful concept for those of us who may have some existential angst regarding passing away in the afterlife. I really think the key to this, Dr. Nona Marie, is to examine the anterior death, the death that came before, the abyss that we emerged from. Right. When we came out of our mother's womb into the light of day. I mean, think of all of the billions of years that passed before you got here. And, you know, life has, and everything in the universe has a sort of an iterative, a self-referencing, a repeating, repetitive, cyclical nature to it. And so, in other words, if I have emerged out of this gulf of nothingness to enjoy my life, if I've done it this once, then I've done it before, and I'll do it again. So to me, that's a very comforting concept. I think we err, particularly when we examine the death that is to come. We can get a lot of comfort from examining the death that has already been. And as Forrest Gump says, that's all I have to say about that. Forrest Gump was a wise man.
Totally.
It's not an accident that the deeper you get into these lofty sciences, the simpler things become. It's not a coincidence.
And I just thought it was funny. I'd like to reevaluate my soul group here.
Tom Hanks is going to be.
Can we switch him out like checkers and stuff? Like, wait a minute. Next lifetime, I want to reassemble that a little better.
You know, the question that I ask about the notion of soul groups and soul mates, even, is that, you know, I see all souls as representations of the divine unity, and so at I don't really see much of a difference between myself and yourself and you, Lauren, and our producer and Steve and all those who are listening. Spiritually speaking, there is not this distinction. You know, we're kind of like nodules emanating from the same stalk. Mm. You know, and so, yeah, sure, I can conceive of, I mean, I think this is a primate desire for grouping and society. You know, and we have to be careful to purge these things from our, or be aware of them at least when we consider spirituality. Because we need to be able to be objective about these things and understand what is atavistic, what is the, you know, the racial species type of urges that impinge upon our perception of it. There's a Heidegger principle where when you observe something, you disturb it and thereby cannot perceive it in its total unalloyed reality. Very interesting.
Right. That is very interesting. Wow. Great, great material.
It's getting deep in here all of a sudden, isn't it?
It is. I know. I just feel like we've chosen it all, and it's all a lesson, and it's all part of the journey. Good, bad, or, you know, indifferent. It's all part of the journey. So.
Mm-hmm. So true. And it's the journey that counts. It's having a good journey that counts, right, guys?
And never forget to have some fun, too, because it can get gruesome otherwise.
Yes, it can. That's why I don't watch the evening news.
I just thought it was fascinating that you could actually, when he was talking about, you could split your energies. I mean, that makes sense at night if you're, you know, you're out of body, you know, I can't even say the word right now. What is that called? My brain just went quiet.
The astral body?
Thank you. You know, you're traveling. Mine is traveling right now. And obviously I've left part of my soul or my energy in another planet right now because it's halfway here. But I thought that was fascinating.
Me too.
That's very interesting. I love it. I know that I think when I had talked to Scott before the show, one thing he had mentioned is that sometimes we have a life where we haven't assigned enough energy to carry out a lifetime. Like we say, okay, I'm going to put 30% into this current life. And then we get down here and find out that we did not allocate it well. And I guess that was part of our lesson as well. And I don't know what we do about that. You know, when you find like you're floundering, I don't know if you can, I didn't think to ask him, well, can you change that when you go to a life between lives on say a second or third session, and your guides say, yeah, you don't quite have enough gas in the tank for this lifetime.
Can you send for help or bring it back? I'm like, I need more of it. Come back.
I love it. I don't think I got set up with a contact with my spirit guide like he was talking about, like setting that up in a session. I actually need to go back. I have that regression on tape and re-listen to it to see if Dr. Newton did that for me, because if he did, I've gotten out of sync of keeping that cue where I can call my main spirit guide in. Either that or I got sent to the timeout corner and they're not responding, because on some days I ask and I get silence.
I tell you, I'm gonna have to advance a rather heretical notion that all those who have personal spirit guides, I'm not so sure that is the holy guardian angel,
right?
You know, I'm thinking by definition this entity has a certain preeminence over all others, and yet one finds that it has to be abandoned in order to reach maximum spiritual benefit. But I'll tell you what, Dr. Nona Marie, while I'm here, why don't I go ahead and pass out the call-in number for those who would like to get a free reading on the air. That number is 724-444-4851. I repeat, the number is 724-444-4851. So we'd like you to be aware that every call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. We ask that you relax and listen to the show while you wait, and ponder what you need to get from us, the question that you want to ask, because we can only take one question in the interest of getting to everybody fairly. So think really hard about what you would like to walk away from the consultation understanding more clearly. And again, that number is 724-444-4851. Thanks, Dr. Nona Marie. I wanted to throw that out there before I forget. I spend so much time in the life between worlds that sometimes I forget myself in this one, you know.
I loved the guardian angel talk when you were talking about when you come into this world. Just what I've seen is the different angels. Some people ask, you know, how many guardian angels do we have? Is there six? Is there three? Is there two? And kind of what I've experienced is you come with a couple with you and they'll stay with you your whole life. But it's almost kind of like a passing of the baton, what I've seen with people and children, as they new ones step in to help you as you're growing. And there's always kind of that couple that are there with you the whole way, but it's a passing of the baton of angels. So I think that's fascinating too.
I agree, Lauren. I think it has it's similar to the topic we had the week before last with Dr. Ben Dykes about the Time Lords. Those interested should check it out in the archives, you know, in the sense that one spiritual entity, an angel or whatever, is, like you said, passing the baton and taking up responsibility for influencing, my life. That's just an absolutely, it's at once a scary and a comforting idea, you know, because what if they want to deal roughly with me? Yeah. What if they want that? I mean, you know.
Well, it's kind of like a mentoring system, if you think of it that way. Sometimes you can only learn so much from one person or one energy or one friend. And a new person has to come in to almost kind of squeeze you or bring in a new perspective or new energy or new coloring to you can learn and grow. And it's the same thing with guides and mentors. And you do feel there is one that is there kind of like your master ascender or your master angel that is kind of the Virgo. I like to say I'm a Virgo, so I'm going to put him the taskmaster in hand here, that, you know, kind of keeping it in order or bringing them in a sequence and vent. Because if not, then you just kind of got a ring around you and someone's got to order it.
That's exactly right. I mean, you really hit on a very important concept, I think, because the idea that I've found repeatedly, again, poring over the ancient literature, is that one has to strive and toil to discover and get to know one's guardian angel, and then one has to renounce the guardian angel. One has to turn one's back on the guardian angel. And I think we see this idea stylized in movies, because if you look at the literature, the books and the movies that have come out of the bulk of humanity, look, the mentor figure very rarely fares nicely in these movies and films. There's a long tradition of the mentor, the guardian, being wounded, going back to Hercules wounding Chiron in the thigh, no accident in that region, with his arrow, and thus yielding the mythology of the sign of Sagittarius. So, and you know, look at any movie, pick out the mentor. That person's that character is going to be dead before the end of the movie, probably. There's a good chance. And so I think this utters the idea that, hey, we have to strive to find out who our guardian is, and then we have to turn our back on it and reject it and move on to something else.
It's almost like childhood. As you grow and you leave away childish things or toys, you put them down and pick up new toys. It's almost the same thing. Angels come and they go, and some stand by you your whole journey, and some new ones come in, they leave. So it becomes very interesting, especially when you look at babies. Looking at my children from now almost having a 14-year-old, the ones I've seen from birth to the ones that are with him now, there's kind of been an entrance. I'm like, what, changing of guards?
Yeah. It's really, really fascinating to ponder this sort of stuff, and it can get lofty very quickly. But to me, it's also comforting. It establishes a certain predictability in life. I mean, that's what we do. That's what I do over at psychicaccess.com. So I'm extremely grateful that these cosmic and spiritual principles offer us the ability, once we understand them, in order to get some intelligibility out of life, you know, to understand where someone is going, to help a person strengthen their bond with their guardians and their spirits, and to perhaps even, you know, teach them how to fish, metaphorically speaking, so that they can speak with their own personal spirit guide. You know, this is very important work.
Well, it's even a wonderful place to come to other people that are similar backgrounds or similar gifts, or even if you're not familiar with them, to know it's a positive place to come and ask questions, and you're not going to be ridiculed and made fun of, or even to ask the questions, because sometimes the spiritual world, it's very interesting to some people and it's very scary to others. So it allows them the platform to ask and to have that space to do it, which is wonderful.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I tell you, when I first found out the topic for tonight's show, I was very interested because, you know, the space in between lives sort of reminds me of that space right before going to sleep or right before waking up. You know what I'm talking about? It's a very fertile, I think it's the most fertile period of the day when you're about to fall asleep. And to me, I think that is the metaphor in life of what the inter-incarnation experience is like. So, very interesting. Well, Dr. Nona Marie, you must certainly be cultivating some opinions on all of this stuff, listening to Lauren and I go at it like this, talking about guardian angels and all. Have you ever felt that your guardian angel maybe was off duty that day, or, you know, conked out and, you know, sleeping late or off the clock or whatnot? Have you ever felt, you know, as if your guardian angel was teaching you through tough love?
Oh, yes. And I also feel like very often I've been left behind. Like, you know, I had to repeat kindergarten 3 or 4 times and be special ed or something. And Dr. Newton's books, he has a lot of case studies about this life between life things. And another thing he does mention is that very often we advance so much that we leave a soul group to go to another one because we've sort of graduated. And sometimes we move on to a whole new bunch of folks. And so that made me wonder, like, well, maybe I've advanced recently, so now I'm like the little fish in the big pond kind of thing because I moved up. But there are plenty of times that I do feel like maybe not my guardian angel has left, but it's just sitting there saying, you need to figure this out on your own. I love you, but you're on your own because that way is how you'll learn it the best way. And I get really cranky when that happens. I'm not really happy with that idea at all, but I get it. I totally get it. But man, it's hard when that happens.
Hey, you know, it's the heat that's needed for generation to occur. You know, you got to have that friction, got to have that heat before you're doing the work of the universe that you were cut out to do. But, you know, they say that the ones who are tested the most severely are the ones that are closest to the cosmic soul's heart, as it were.
Oh, you've got to pray. hope that's true.
Shouldn't it be that it's easier for us all then?
No, I think the people who have the really easy lives, they've been sidelined. They're like the third string wide receiver. You know, they should be itching to get out there on the field. So if you find yourself sidelined like that, you know, where, you know, you're comfortable and everything and you're not itching to get on the field, then, you know, something's wrong. There's usually going to come about some spiritual ennui and boredom and maybe even some acting out, you know, because we don't like to be sidelined. But maybe some people can go. It's just my opinion to nutshell this thing, that those who are enjoying the most extreme opulence in life are the ones who are who have the highest number on the string. In other words, that they have the most distance from the action in the universe. They're the most separated from the core functioning of the universe, as it were. Which is weird. Because we are so materialistic, we tend to view these people as the most blessed. But at any rate, we're going to have to table this topic for another day, ladies and gentlemen, because we have a caller for Steve from Ontario.
Thank you, Steve. And who's calling from Ontario?
Hello.
Hi, yeah, what's your name?
I'm from Ontario here.
Yes, what's your name?
Chris.
Chris, how can we help you?
I was just wondering what you saw in store for the new year. Like, you know, as far as relationships, that type of thing goes.
Relationships. Let's have a look at relationships. Let's see. Well, first thing I want to say to you, actually, is I'm drawn to the number 5. I'm drawn to the month of May. Oh, okay, let's see. Yeah. Now, are you in a relationship at the moment? Or not, Chris? You're not?
No, kind of,
No. It's ended,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, separated, I guess you say, fighting, I don't know. Haven't spoken to each other for months.
Yeah, okay, because I can see that, you know, there was a relationship that was pretty good, and I can see that you have people around you. I feel like you're somebody that has good family connections. You know, you're not a loner by any means, but I see in the cards and feel as well that there was some disappointment about a relationship, and I'm drawn back about several months on that in terms of the initial disappointment, but I feel like it's still with you somehow. But I feel that you're in a good place right now emotionally. I feel like you've got a sensible outlook regarding relationships and a good level of self-esteem, etc. So I do feel that there's a relationship for you, and I actually feel that it's a really good relationship, and I feel particularly very good about the person that you will meet. And again, I feel that you get together in May. I am also drawn to March, to be honest with you. It may be that you meet this person in March, but you realize in May that this is potentially a very good relationship. But as I said, I feel good about this person. This is somebody that's really got their feet on the ground. that is living a good life, is responsible, and you know, has resources and lots of ideas, and is certainly a very loving, very uplifting energy. So I feel that the ending in 2014 actually is a really good thing. And when a relationship ends, we can't really see that it can be very beneficial, that it can be right. But when we find that person that we really do want to be with, that person that we really get on with so well, then we look back and we always feel grateful for the fact we realized that a previous relationship wasn't right and we left behind. So I feel good for you. And as I said, I'm drawn to March and May, but I feel it's May when you will... really decide that this is a good relationship to pursue. The other thing I'm going to say to you is that the person that you will be with is attractive, and you'll find that they have a fair amount of Libra energy in their astrology chart. So it may well be a Libra ascendant or Libra sun, but a good dose of Libra energy, which makes that person really sort of balanced, sociable. A really nice person to be around. And I tell you as well that I feel that there will be children. I'm not going to ask you if you want children or you don't, but I do feel that this is a relationship that involves more than purely a partner, that there's a family unit as well. And I feel that that's a family unit that's created. I don't feel that's a family unit that comes with this person. Okay. And I also want to say to you that my guide, Arthur, has said that you need to check on your vehicle. I feel that, and I'm not saying, oh, hey, you know, you're going to have a major problem with your vehicle, but I feel like there's some maintenance work. It's not something that's critical, but you need to take care of things, and particularly I'm drawn to the vehicle and feel that needs a little bit of a checkup and some tender loving care, and that's what I feel for you, Chris.
Okay, well that's pretty good. This past relationship wasn't really a relationship; it was just kind of a friendship that was just kind of moving towards that. Maybe we'll pick up. Who knows?
This new one's going to be good, Chris. It's going to be very different. And I wish you all the best for 2015. I want to thank you for calling.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right. Take care, Chris. Good luck.
You too. All right.
Thank you very much, Steve. That was outstanding. If you'd like a reading with Steve, you can find him at psychicaccess.com. Now we have a caller from Ohio for Lauren.
Hello, Ohio. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, my name is Leola.
Hi, Leola. What can I help you with tonight?
I want to know how was 2015 looking for me when it comes to love and finance.
Love and finances. Is there a specific person you have in mind, or was it just a generalization?
Love relationship. Will I be in a relationship this year?
Right now, what I'm picking up with the relationship is almost a 2015 is almost a growing period for yourself. That it is really kind of coming into your own and discerning what kind of relationship you want. I mean, I'm really feeling that some of the guys that you've dated have kind of been a little bit of knuckleheads. Some have treated you okay and some haven't, but this is almost the year of putting in and down on paper and almost to yourself and almost taking yourself off the discount shelf and making yourself the worthy partner of a healthy and beautiful relationship, because you're definitely deserving of it. And I feel this year of working on yourself and career-wise and bringing that energy into yourself that... I feel like by September, October, I feel like you've almost kind of been putting the attention and the love back into your foundation, and you're almost calling in someone that is going to mirror that in a healthy way. And that's what I'm getting. So the love relationship, I feel, is more to love yourself and to work on that of yourself this year And the finances is actually, it's almost kind of the same. I feel like everything has been put out energy-wise into others, and it's been depriving of yourself. So the love of self and love of relationships and your finances all kind of been, it's not as plentiful as you want. Would that make sense?
Yes. Well, I haven't been dating at all.
I feel like people have been in and out, nothing serious, but the people that have been coming in haven't been of the stature and that you've been wanting, is what I'm getting. So by literally being more looking at yourself this year and really kind of honing in exactly what you want and cultivating that, you're going to bring in that quality of that person also. And that's what I'm getting.
Okay.
Was there any other?
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, hon. What did you say?
Also, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And I wish you well for 2015.
All right. Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much. If you'd like a reading from Lauren, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from Ohio. Hello, Ohio. Happy New Year to you.
Stacy?
Hello. How may I help you?
Hi, this is Stacy.
Okay, and what's your question, Stacy?
I was wondering if I would finally get a divorce this year.
Okay. Will Stacy finally get a divorce this year? One second while I pick up on your situation, please, okay?
Yes.
Will she finally get a divorce this year? Yeah, you will get a divorce this year. I expect that you will indeed get that divorce. It might seem as if there's a suspension or a delay of things right now. It could be the case that, I mean, it's obviously not going at the pace or the tempo that you would like. That should start changing forward. I mean, the tempo is going to increase. It's going to pick up. This year, you will get a divorce. In fact, the ace of the air element, I judge that to be a change in policy. You know, this is very, very obvious to me that the newness of that numerology, the number one, the newness of that, very obvious to me that we're closing out the old marriage and beginning the new period of being legally single. You know, so everything I judge to be favorable for you regarding your divorce. It will happen this year, without doubt.
Sooner or later in the year?
Well, it's at the end. Let's see here. Timing. One second, okay? Let me see what I can pick up on timing. Obviously, you're in a rush. There does seem to be some momentum, some impetus. Timing the divorce. I'll tell you, I'm thinking more along the sooner rather than later. Let's say, I'll tell you what, about as comfortable as I'm going to get is within months. Not picking up on an exact date here, but it's not going to be beyond 2015, for one thing.
Yeah.
And it's going to be probably on the shorter side of things. I do feel as if your representation, you're going to experience increase from them. You know, so if you do benefit from this divorce, it's going to be because you've got great lawyers. They're going to help you out there. And I see that you're going to be connecting with them fairly quickly. Let's say 3 months. The ball will start rolling in 3 months or so.
Okay. All right. Great. I needed to hear some positive.
It's all positive.
The other day, most of year all. Of divorce.
you're going to be free of him.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. You too.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, we have a caller from California, from Dr. Nana Marie.
Hi, California. Are you there?
Hi, this is Reggie.
Rick?
Hello?
Is that your name?
This is Reggie.
Oh, Reggie. I'm sorry. Hi, Reggie. How can I help you tonight?
Hi, do you see me making new friends this year?
Are you going to make new friends?
You see, what do you see new for me in 2015?
Could you give me a more specific question? Because for the show, we want to take one specific question.
You think I'll meet a lady in 2015 anytime soon?
A romantic relationship? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
I think in September, you will meet somebody who, before then, I think you'll meet people, but it will be more of a flirt and nothing serious. But I do feel that in September, you will meet somebody. However, I will say this to you. You sometimes have a tendency to kind of treat people a little casually. And this person that you meet, if you treat her too casually, she will walk away from you. She is someone that you will need to treat with a great deal of respect from the very beginning. She has a very short fuse on being not acknowledged as a really wonderful person. So I would say to you that up until that time, that it would be a good thing for you to date other women in the meantime and practice your courtship skills would be the best way I would describe it. And courtship isn't really a skill anymore. It's kind of a lost art. And it doesn't mean to be fake or phony. It means to really, in a very respectful way, get to know somebody and be very attentive to the details of getting to know somebody. And you are very much like that, but then sometimes you just forget to do that. And if you do that with this woman, she will walk away from you very, very quickly. So I would say until September, while you're dating, practice courtship skills. Don't practice just getting a girlfriend. Practice really kind of the old format of opening doors, picking someone up, sending thank you notes, asking questions that show interest in someone's life, that kind of thing, so that it really becomes second nature to you. Does that help?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I bought my last friend a watch and we broke up.
Yeah. Well, a lot of women don't like to be treated as casual friends. They like to be more treated like a prize-winning, I want to say Persian cat of some kind. And you sometimes forget to do that. You have a very nice aspect to yourself, but you get too casual too quickly. And that turns women off at times. So I would say to you, hopefully you will butter up your gentlemanly skills and then you will have better luck with this one.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for calling, Reggie. Happy New Year to you, and thank you for that outstanding reading, Dr. Nona Marie. If you would like a reading from Dr. Nona Marie, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. And now we have a caller from Texas for Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Texas?
Hi, my name's Alfie.
Oh, I can't hear you very well.
Hi, my name's Alfie. Can you hear me?
Just about hear you. I didn't catch your name, but I heard your voice.
My name's Alfie.
Alfie. Okay, Alfie. I can hear you. Yes. I can almost hear you now. Go ahead. What's your question, Alfie?
Well, I've met a couple mediums in the past, and I'm trying to find out where my origin is soul-wise. They've told me a couple things, but I just want to see a different perspective of what galaxy or universe I'm from.
What galaxy or universe you're from?
Yeah, I'm a starseed, so I came to Earth to, you know, join the party, and I just want to see what different people think. I have my own opinions, but I'd like a psychic opinion.
Okay, let's see. Well, I honestly, Alfie, I can't say to you, oh, you're from such and such a galaxy, but what I can do is give you insight into why you're here, what it is you need to do in this lifetime, what you came here to address. Does that make sense to you?
That does make perfect sense. I've just met mediums that say they've channeled Yeshua and Mary Magdalene, and they've told me that I'm from such and such galaxy. And so
I'd like
to see what your interpretation is.
Well, you know, what I feel for you, Alfie, first of all, is that... I feel for you, Alfie, that, you know, you've had some pretty tough lifetimes. I don't feel that your recent lifetimes have been a walk in the park, let's say. I feel that you've had to work extremely hard. I feel that you've dealt with a certain amount of adversity. And I also feel that in your last lifetime or two, that it was quite difficult for you to find your path in the world, for you to find your niche, your groove. And I feel that in this lifetime, it hasn't been easy either for you to know exactly what your direction is, to know what your career path or business should be, what it is you are here to do in the world. But I do feel that actually you're going to have some very good fortune in this lifetime. And that what I want to say to you, Alfie, is that you will experience some quite interesting turns of fate in this lifetime. And I say that in a positive sense. You know, there can be a turn of fate that's problematic. There can be a turn of fate that's very advantageous. You think of spinning a roulette wheel and, you know, you win or you lose the money you put on the table. But I feel that you're going to have some really good breaks, Alfie. I feel that you're good with people. I feel that you're a smart guy. I feel that you are interested in many things and well-read, somebody that really likes to research and likes to educate himself. And so I feel that you will continue to gather more resources, more information, more tools. And I feel like actually in 2 years that there's a really exciting turn of fate for you. I feel that there's a really good opportunity. And I feel that it actually occurs around the middle of the year. So it's 2015 now. So it feels to me around actually the middle of 2017. And I feel that you will be very clear at that point in time that the opportunity that comes your way is something that you really want. And I actually honestly feel that your path is a spiritual path as well. I feel that you are here to share information. I feel that you're here to help guide other people. You're here to be a conduit for spirit. And also, you're somebody that is here to really study hard, really learn a lot, and, you know, learn about the mysteries, the ancient mysteries, and share information with other people. I feel that that's the path that you go down, but I also feel that there's a fair amount of teaching, as well as, you know, interacting with individuals and providing information to individuals. I feel as well, Alfie, that you'll relocate. I feel that you'll move around the middle of 2017, and I feel that you'll move northwesterly direction. So that's what I feel for you.
Definitely, that's my plan.
You've got a lot to look forward to, Alfie, and your life hasn't always been easy on you, and you must invest in you really need to dig into your subconscious and unconscious self, because there's a lot in there that's extremely useful for you. And you also need to understand your blockages and your history and work through that stuff. But I wish you all the best, and very grateful for you calling us on New Year's Day.
Well, thank you for your blessings, but you're absolutely right. I don't know about 2017 per se, because I'm trying to get the ball rolling as soon as possible. I'm just, like, trying to hit the road running, you know?
Yeah, well, bear in mind that it doesn't mean nothing happens until then, but that's when the direction really shifts for you. That's when doors open, and we wish you lots of luck with that, Alfie.
I'd like One more question, if that's okay.
We can only take one, Alfie. On the radio show, we just take one question per caller, but you can certainly call again in future, and you can contact us at psychicaccess.com as well if you would like to go into more detail.
Well, I'd just like to know about my twin flame and whether I'm reincarnated or not, if that's okay with you.
I can't answer a second question for you, Alfie. We only take one question per caller, and if I make an exception for you, then it's not necessarily fair to others. So call us in future or get in touch with one of our readers on Psychic Access and we'll look at that for you.
Thanks.
Good luck.
All right. Thank you very much for calling, Alfie. Happy New Year to you. And you're exactly right, Steve. We can only take one caller per question. Sorry about that, but we have to be fair because now, actually, we have a caller from Ohio for Lauren.
Hello, who am I speaking with? Hello, Ohio, are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey there.
What's your name, huh?
Kathy. And I was just wondering if you could tell me about workers' comp. Is it going to shut me off or what? Amen.
So, Gabby, you said your name was Gabby and you wanted to know when workers' comp was going to shut you off or not?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me take a moment to connect to you. Go ahead, hon. What'd you say?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
No, that's all right. I couldn't hear you either. So, what I'm feeling with that is I feel like you have a little bit longer for that money to come in. So, the best thing I would suggest what I'm feeling is start kind of getting your feelers out there, get some resumes out there. I feel you have about a couple months. It feels like maybe I'm hearing six, so maybe six more weeks of it before it runs out. There are other programs probably you can call to ask for extensions. I'm not sure where you live and the rules on that.
No. I have not gotten any money for them for a few years.
Oh, and okay.
I have a
so,
coming up.
So what I guess is the question is if it's run out and you haven't gotten money for a couple years, then your answer is you're probably not getting any more money from them.
They allowed a new thing to my claim. And I would just want to see them putting me back on my money. I haven't went to court yet. I think I'll probably get sometime in February, but I'm not sure.
The best part with that is realistically is to get your feelers out and start looking for other sources. I feel the spot is kind of dried up, and I mean, you're more than welcome to go out and, you know, try and get from that well as much as you can, but I definitely feel the well is dry and it would be a good idea, or I'm feeling, for you to start getting out there and looking for other areas to kind of replenish your income. So, and I hope I answered your question. I'm so sorry if I misunderstood it, but that's what I'm getting from that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Lauren, for that reading. You can find Lauren at psychicaccess.com. Okay, well, we are waiting for calls to come in. The number, again, is 724-444-4851. Don't be shy. Give us a ring. We would love to hear from you. 724-444-4851. Back to you, Dr.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. So, back to Life Between Lives. And one of the things I found fascinating was this idea of doing more than one regression. I had never thought of that until I had talked to Scott. I'm actually looking forward to doing that in the near future with him. And the concept that we could access what other projects that we're working on while we're still here incarnated on Earth. And I got a reading a million years ago that I thought was so crazy, but now listening to Scott, I don't know if it is crazy or not, which is some people told me that I was an eight-armed being from another planet, and that I was still that while being incarnated here. And at the time, I just thought, okay, this is crazy stuff. But then, you know, the more we were talking with Scott about incarnating at the same time and that our energy is split and there are other dimensions and other planets, that I'm now going back and revisiting that. I wish I could remember the name of the planet that they told me I was from. I don't know if it would do me any good to look it up or not. So that's Steve, you said you had some wonderful things to share, you said. So what is that?
Well, I have some things to share that are relevant to the wonderful interview. I really enjoyed it. And I wanted to say, first of all, that a lot of what your guest said, Nonna Marie, it really concurs with my beliefs and my experience as working with spirit. And particularly, I wanted to say that I had the most incredible experience in my 20s. I had a very bad mountain biking accident, and I basically passed but was resuscitated three times. And I've worked as a medium all my life, so I've interacted with spirit all of my life, and I've never had any doubts about the afterlife, the existence of our loved ones in spirit, the existence of those that guide and teach us from spirit. But I hadn't up until that point experienced being in spirit. And I did experience the tunnel, the white light that people speak about. But what I can say about it, the experience, is that when I arrived at the other end of that tunnel, I felt surrounded by people, entities that I recognized. And some of them, I recognized them. I knew that one was my father's mother, my grandmother, Frampton. I knew that one was my main guide, Arthur. You could just feel it. And it was all telepathic. But I felt incredible. And I have to say that my feeling was that everything I had done had been reconciled. So any wrong that I had done was corrected. And I just felt completely safe and secure, very much loved. And it was a very, very real experience. And it happened three times. So I wanted to say that because it's a real experience that I had of guides and being with spirit, being in spirit. And I also agree with your guest that we are, part of us is on the spiritual plane as well.
I love that. I love that you had those experiences. It's amazing.
Well, you know what? We actually have a call from Texas for me. Hello, Texas. Who am I speaking with in Texas? Hello, speaking to the great state of Texas. And I say that with all sincerity. Hello, Texas.
Looks like he hung up.
Okay. We'll call the Texas Rangers and initiate an investigation to find this person. I love Texas. It's one of my favorite states. It's so huge. I don't think we have Texas.
So kind of along the lines of what Steve was talking about, years ago, I had a meditation and I remember this feeling, both a visual and a feeling of these angels. They were blue for some reason and they were literally crowding around me. Physically, I could feel them. And I started crying really, really hard because I could feel this incredible presence and love from them. And their comment to me was, "We are always here. You just forget to talk to us or ask us to make ourselves known." And I loved that Scott and addressed that kind of idea that we are really never alone down here. It's just so hard to feel presence sometimes, especially when you're down and out. I love, Steve, what you said about your experiences. It is such a gift when we remember to reach out, that we can connect with these incredible energies. It's just so comforting.
We really can. It's very real. And I often say to my clients that if you think of even just the world we're in right now, planet Earth, well, I live in the United States and my family live in France and the UK. So right now, I can't see my mother, but she's there. She's there. She's alive and kicking in North Wales. And so just because we can't see something, it doesn't mean that it's not there. You think about the technology we have nowadays, Nonna Maria. We're having this radio show virtually. We're together, but I can't see you. I'm in my home. You're in yours. But we're here. And so to me, it's just a no-brainer that there's more out there. And it's a no-brainer that we can connect with spirits, that we can connect with our own spirits, our higher selves for guidance and connectedness. We can connect with our spiritual guides, our loved ones in spirit. I've always just been very clear that that's the case.
Right. I have to admit that when I get in a black hole, I sometimes forget. I don't have a good habit of reaching out to spirit. It's getting better than it used to be, but I think that might be the case for a lot of people.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because when I was a kid, I used to meditate every day. And it wasn't really, I didn't know it was a meditation, but I used to sit down, I would close my eyes, and I would ask my guide Arthur questions, and I would get the answers, and I could, you know, really interact with spirit. And I remember when I was about 18, 19, I got frustrated because I wanted some guidance. And the answer I got was very clear. You used to talk to us. You used to take time every day to be with us, and now you don't. And I changed that very moment and realized that we must stop. We must connect with spirit, preferably every day. But we don't take time to do that for ourselves. We do it when we're giving readings or with clients. We have to do it for ourselves as well.
Right. And I think for me, it has to become a habit, so that when things get bad, my first habit then will be to turn to spirit. Because I never remember to do it when I get scared or nervous. And I think that's true with lots of people as well.
We forget ourselves.
Yeah, beautiful.
Mm. Well, that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. Dr. Nonna Marie, thank you for this excellent interview. Big thanks to Scott DeTambo for sharing his enlightenment and insights with us tonight. Big thanks to Lauren also, and Steve, for adding your insight and wisdom to tonight's proceedings. Also, would love to thank our executive producer, Doug C. Always works hard behind the scenes to keep us on our toes, keep everything on track, and provide you guys with a great listening experience. And next week, Steve, you're presenting us with someone, aren't you?
Absolutely. Our guest, Jill Volpe, will be with us, and we'll be speaking about channeling.
Oh, that's going to be fascinating. I can't. This is just too much. It's going to be great. Don't miss next week's show on channeling, hosted by Stephen Frampton. Everyone, hope you have a great new year. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.